Hey, fam, I'm Jada Pinkett Smith, and this is the Red Table Talk podcast. All your favorite episodes from the Facebook Watch Show in audio, produced by Westbrook Audio and iHeartRadio. Please don't forget to rate and review on Apple Podcasts. On this Red Table Talk,
Willow, what was your most recent heartbreak?
How to mend a broken heart.
Deep down, I still love him. Of course. And my heart is in pieces.
Our personal counselor and renowned relationship expert, Michaela Boehm.
And she has worked with Will and I for many, many, many years.
is here to help us cope with betrayal.
I caught him entertaining several other men on social media.
Rejection.
He told me that he no longer has romantic feelings for me.
Pain.
The passing of my mother-in-law. It was very painful.
Tragedy.
I called home and I got a live report of the house burning down, which was devastating.
And shattered dreams.
I get a call. He was seeing another woman for 9 months. I don't know how to go on from here.
The number one topic you asked us to bring to the Red Table in 2020 was how to deal with a broken heart. We have a very wise woman who is joining us to share wisdom and advice. She is an author, teacher, counselor, and a wonderful friend of the Smith family. Her name is Michaela Boehm, and she has worked with Will and I for many, many, many years.
Hey, Michaela, aww. Welcome.
Hello.
We love having you here.
I get to actually touch the red table.
Yes. I mean, this has been a year.
A year. Oh. 2020 has been.
We have so many people that are dealing with so many different kinds of heartbreak. People are losing their homes, losing their jobs, losing their relationships. Yes. It's just, it can be really overwhelming.
It is heartbreaking. It's really intense. Yeah. Michaela,
I know you had a really... Your heartbreak, I mean, I remember that devastation.
Yeah. I lost my house, well, my entire property in the Thomas fire. I wasn't home. I saw something on Facebook and I called home and I got a live report of the house burning down, which was devastating. But the real heartbreak is that I lost some of my dogs and a lot of my livestock, a lot of my ducks and chickens and tortoises and turtles and cats, but the dogs were, you know, they're my children.
Yeah.
And so there was devastation after devastation after devastation. It certainly taught me about kind of the heartbreak and the suffering that I was not aware of.
Mm. No.
It's something when your entire existence is boiled down to this much dust.
Mm. Yeah, because you are brilliant at what you do, you know, just as far as helping other people get through very difficult times. What do you think was some of the new wisdom that you acquired going through this experience in regards to dealing with heartbreak and loss?
I think the most important thing is I really understood viscerally in my body that there is kind of stages to the grieving that you can't bypass. You have to accept that it sucks and not try to immediately whitewash and go, what am I learning?
So that's a bypass.
It's a bypass. Mm. What I realized is that when people were dealing with me, they couldn't deal with the intensity of the pain, so they skipped over the pain. Somebody said to me 4 days after the fire, well, I guess now you got a good lesson in non-attachment. That must be amazing, right? So stuff like that, I know. And so I really learned for my work as well, the acknowledgement of the horror. And mind you, one person's horror might not be another person's horror,
right?
But that doesn't matter. It's really, really subjective, and the pain is the pain is the pain.
Yeah.
And so I think what was my biggest learning is that you have to acknowledge it. You can't skip over it. And when you do that, it gives you permission to grieve, and then the grieving allows you to stay functional.
Mm-hmm.
What I did every morning before I even got up, I'd cry, and I'd, you know, crying's really, really, really healthy and good.
But move through it, though.
Move through it.
Yeah.
And then the tears wash out things.
I have a question for you, Gam. What has been your biggest heartbreak?
I think this year it has really been the passing of my mother-in-law.
Right, right.
You know, because
to COVID.
Yeah, to COVID. It was very painful. It was very, very painful. And then not being able to gather to celebrate her life the way we ordinarily would.
That's very, very tough.
Have you had some romantic heartbreak in your life?
I have had a lot of romantic heartbreak. This one particular failure in one of my marriages that I really built up in my head that this was my one true love, and I'll never
love like this.
I'll never love like this again. Yeah, it wasn't a divorce that I wanted, but at the end of the day, when you really, really look at the relationship honestly,
you go,
it's like this one going nowhere but to divorce.
Yeah, okay. right.
I really feel like you have to kind of take some time and be honest with yourself.
Yeah. Willow, what was your most recent heartbreak?
You know, I've had some personal decisions that I needed to make this year that were really hard. I had to just learn how to set some boundaries in my romantic relationship / ships.
Right.
And I'm so grateful that my partner was just open to what I had to say. And when you truly love someone, no matter what, you're going to want what's best for them.
Right. Yeah.
I felt like I was almost making the situation bigger than it needed to be.
And you guys really did a good job working it out together.
Right. Michaela helped a lot.
It wasn't nearly as tough as you thought.
As I was building it up to be.
Yeah. But you had such courage about it, and you were so clear that you wanted the best for both of you.
Yeah.
And that's really quite extraordinary.
Yeah. Quite commendable.
Thank you. Baby steps.
Yeah.
I was actually saying to Jada, I had daughter envy for the first time in my life.
She sure did.
I was the first time in my adult life where I was like, I wish I had a daughter. I wish I had a daughter. Like, no.
You can consider me your daughter. You've helped me a lot. And
she's helped us all a lot.
Yeah.
Thank God for you, Michaela.
What about you, Mom?
I was going to say, everybody's telling the story. What about yours?
You know, I mean, I've had plenty of heartbreak in my life, devastating heartbreak. But what I'm still trying to learn is allowing for that tenderness versus going
into fight mode.
Michaela knows, I go straight into fight. And I think that has a lot to do with the fear of being hurt.
Yeah.
You don't want to feel rejected. You don't want to feel unloved, right? Being programmed and believing, girl, don't let those tears come.
Yeah.
Don't let those tears come because you will fall apart and you might not be able to put yourself back together again. But it takes a lot of just trusting yourself, you know?
So true.
And a lot of times we don't have enough self-worth.
Yes.
We have some guests that are coming to RTT to speak to Michaela. First is Sarah from Denver, Colorado. Hey, Sarah. Hey. Welcome.
Aww. Thank you. Just over a year ago, I met a guy who I connected with so quickly and so deeply that I actually really felt like he was the guy for me. He was the one. And then he actually recently told me that he no longer has romantic feelings for me. And I'm really struggling with it. And I'm very much at the point in my life where I no longer want to pursue dating or pursue love. And I apologize if I start to get emotional. I thought I did everything correctly. I'm becoming very fatigued on trying to brush it off and try again.
You're absolutely right to feel like you don't want to do it anymore, because that's what happens first. You're so beaten down and it's so devastating. You can't imagine doing it ever again, right?
Yeah.
And of course you will do it again and you will have learned something from it and you will be stronger for it.
I guess I'm just in a space where I'm almost 35. I've been trying this for a while, but I am kind of repeatedly broken up with. So I kind of keep coming back to, like, what am I doing wrong that has kept me in this space for a decade now, you know?
What would your guess be if I would say to you, what do you think you are doing that makes it so?
I know that I do pick people who may not be as emotionally mature as I need them to be. My other concern has been that I am just too accessible. If my ex would have called me at any time to say he was ready to get back with me, I would have said yes, 100%.
So in the pattern of the guys leaving, right, or what do they say?
They say, you're incredible, but pretty much just always, I'm not ready for a commitment.
And when you meet a guy, are you very clear on the fact that you want a deep commitment right from the get-go?
I think that in the past, I have tried to camouflage a little bit or like adapt like a chameleon to kind of figure out what they wanted.
I think what you're describing is so built into many of us. We tend to really feel what other people need and then morph ourselves in ways so we get love.
Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. But it's the very thing that will make a relationship not work. Mm. Because who you say you are and who you really are is not the same. And that eventually bites you mm-hmm. in the relationship.
So are you saying she's not being true to who she really is?
She's more true to the other person than to herself. You didn't want to push him. You start putting yourself further and further back. And then who you are doesn't really come to play. And it becomes more and more about him. And then, of course, he goes, well, I'm not feeling it, right? Because what he isn't feeling is who he thought you were in the first place, who you no longer are because you've accommodated, you've morphed for the sake of the relationship.
This is important, Michaela.
It's very important.
Because we as women, my God, do we do this so often.
Yeah.
Where we think, okay, if I just let him flow how he needs to flow, and if I just make myself available in a way that he needs, he'll love me, he'll appreciate the fact.
But what he's supportive.
I'm being supportive.
Yeah. She's nodding. The quick and dirty answer to what you're saying is who you are at some point has to be good enough. Now you just got to hold steady.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've been married, you know, 4 times and I just never gave up. I just took what I learned from that relationship and tried to carry it into the next one in a positive way.
Nothing's wasted.
Yeah. Nothing's wasted.
I appreciate everything that you're saying.
Thank you, Sarah, for sharing. You are precious, and I just want you to know, keep going. Every relationship gives us a gem that we can use in our next step for that next door that's inevitably going to open. You are a beautiful woman, girl.
Thank you.
Love yourself first.
Yes. Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sarah. Yeah. That was beautiful.
That was.
I always sit here and I go, how is she going to handle this one? So, Trina is next.
Hey, Jay.
Hi.
I love you and your family so much.
Well, thank you.
I'm from North Carolina. I was married for 39 years to a man that I was with, and I will get emotional.
That's okay.
I've been with him since I was 14. Mm. So he was my only love.
Yeah.
And we, just a year ago, had plans of our retirement, traveling the world. And he just all of a sudden wanted to separate about 3 months ago. And then I get a call from an anonymous person. He was seeing another woman for 9 months. I'm 57 years old. How do you get past this kind of hurt and actually move on from this? Because deep down, truly, I still love him.
Of course.
And my heart is in pieces.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ugh. Ooh.
I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry.
I don't know how to go on from here. Thank God I have a wonderful daughter, but it's still hard.
This is one of those moments where I wish I had a magic wand.
Yeah.
Right? Where you could just wave the magic wand and the pain is lifted.
Yeah.
So you grew up with this man, right? You became a woman and a mother and who you are today. Your entire life is connected with this man. Then it's suddenly pulled out. That's about as devastating as it gets.
It feels like a death.
what you're experiencing right now is multiple layers of grief and loss. And the first stage is absolute devastation. Mm-hmm. And no one will blame you if you want to just lay down. Then the next thing that usually happens is you get angry. Mm-hmm. And when you start getting angry, you have to listen to me carefully, you must get angry. Now, you don't want to direct it at anyone. That's very important, right? Meaning you don't go to mm-hmm. his house and drag yeah. him out of the house, even though that's a good fantasy to have, right? You write it all down, or you record it, and you curse him. And you do that so that that's out of you, because yeah. that's the thing that starts festering. You go and find help with friends, church, family, so you can speak about it. Mm-hmm. And you can allow yourself to be a bit bitter about it and nasty. You have to write the worst of your revenge fantasies and the worst of your ill wishes so you can move on from them. Yeah. Yeah. That's super, super important.
Yes. But
the more you go there, the quicker it will pass. Then comes another wave of grief, the grief of your entire life having disappeared in a certain way. But then, who are you when all of this is taken away? Mm. And one thing I can tell you, just by looking at you, there's such strength in you
yes. yep.
and such power and resilience
yes.
that's going to come to the surface. And then you're going to become somebody who is free mm. Of that thing
yes.
that held you in a certain kind of a situation. Because
yes.
even though you love him, and even though you've devoted a long time to that marriage, there's parts of you that are really waiting to come out.
Yes.
And I know I can see it in your face. All that energy that was suppressed by the pain is going to come out, and Trina is going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Yes.
Right.
It's a process. I think a lot of us believe that if we go into the feeling of the pain, that we'll get stuck. Mm. I know that's always mm. been something for me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, don't go there because you might just get, the pain might just crab you and keep you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And so the idea of being able to understand that it's okay to go into it in the with the concept of moving through it.
And you really do have to let it out.
Yes. We've all been there in some form or fashion. And we just want you to know that our hearts are with you. And thank you so much for your testimony today.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you, Trina. Mm-mm,
that's a devastating. Mm-mm. When you feel like
everything your world could rely on
yes.
is gone.
Yeah.
There's
Absolutely.
Something I don't want to ignore either, too, for women when you get to that age. You know, and
it's
you go
easy.
Through a major breakup like that, and particularly with a person that you've been through for, so you go through, like, I'm 57, like, who's going to want me now?
And that's a reality
that
we don't want to skip over.
Right.
However, this is just a tiny little side note. My first neighbor, when I moved to LA from Austria, was a woman who was in her late 80s, and she was a concentration camp survivor.
Wow.
Leah, her name was. And Leah, every Tuesday, went to the Fairfax Jewish Community Center mm-hmm. for square dance.
Yes.
And she found a boyfriend.
Wow.
And so, on her 90th birthday, Sol, her new boyfriend, moved into the house. And here's how I knew Sol moved into the house. The Sears truck pulled up. Out came the two single beds.
Mm.
In came a big new brass Fender double bed. And Sol moved in.
Wow.
And then they walked hand in hand every day.
That's a beautiful story for anybody who thinks that, you know, it's over and that you'll never find.
Yeah.
On her 90th birthday.
By the way, the guy she moved in was at least 12 years younger than her. He was in his high 70s. Right?
Love that.
Yeah.
So we have Eddie from LA.
Oh. Hi, Eddie.
Hi. So I'm 27 and I'm a PhD student at USC. I recently got out of a 14-month relationship with a man I thought I'd marry. Towards the end of our relationship, I caught him entertaining several other men on social media. I felt so betrayed. I found on his Instagram that he was inviting other men to dates, and, you know, it There was so much betrayal there that at the very end warped my idea of who he was.
Yeah.
I reached out to him recently and I never heard back. It's been really difficult for me. So I'm left to reconcile this person who I thought I knew for over a year. And I sort of don't know what the reality is right now. And I don't know how to get over this.
The real tough thing about this is that when you can say it, it just sits in your head. And it's so important to have the communication that you want to have. However, you don't need to have the conversation or the communication with him. And so one of my personal tricks for myself, you write letters. And don't write sentences and stuff, just write words.
Yeah.
This is a very specific process, so I'm gonna walk you through this. The first letter you write is a nasty, vicious, say everything you never would say to a real person letter.
Got it.
You write it, you put it somewhere. And you just write and you write and you write, and you might write the same letter for 3, 4, 5 days. If you can handwrite, handwrite. There's something about writing by hand that doesn't happen here or on your phone, right? The important piece is that you don't rush it. So you write the letters till you feel ready to be done. Make sure that you really, really, really address how it felt and tell him on the letter what a really thing that was.
Yeah, exactly.
However many it takes till you're somewhat clear, you'll write a letter that you could give him.
Got it.
Then what you do is you do a ritual, something that puts a full stop, make a strong end to it.
Yeah.
Take something of his and bury it or burn it. Do something where you for yourself go, okay, I am done.
One thing I want to ask too, Michaela, because I know in these kinds of situations, when you have that kind of betrayal, you lose such a trust in yourself.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
You know,
like,
you
how
don't.
Could
How could I have misjudged so greatly?
Right.
You know what I mean? How do you regain that trust in yourself to believe that the next time you won't do that to yourself again?
Well, here's a horrible truth. We don't misjudge.
Woo!
Right. Eddie knew.
Yeah.
But we don't want to see it because we love and our heart wants that thing and we want that relationship and he wanted that marriage. We know. We always
That's
know.
True.
So the learning isn't to become better at distinguishing it necessarily. The learning is to listen to ourselves and not let our need for a certain fairy tale override what we know.
No, it's true.
Right?
Yeah.
You can look at how do you read the red flags better next time, right? Mm-hmm. And you can feel it and you can think back on when something felt fishy and you kind of were overriding it for the fact that this was going to be your life partner and you were going to marry. Then the other thing that happens is every time we get a bit better at not overriding our own feelings around that, the people we attract get better because they can't pull the wool over our eyes.
Yes, right.
Honey, honestly, let's just be real. You have such a light. You have such a deep well of compassion within you.
Yeah.
And so many people are going to see that and they're going to want that.
Willow, I've been a huge fan of yours forever. So if I hear, you know, Willow say that I'm gonna find love again, like, I'm more prone to believe it.
You're a beauty, Eddie. Just know that. Yes. It's all about learning as we go. That's it. Yeah. That's
Thank
it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Eddie.
Thank you, Eddie.
This pandemic that we've been dealing with, I mean, globally, we've all been affected. Yeah. I feel like not one person has been able to escape.
No. A lot of expectations have been shattered.
Yeah. So we have Kijana and David from Inglewood who have questions for Michaela. Hey, look at y'all. Look at this beautiful couple right here. Welcome to the table.
Thank you for having us.
So what questions do you have for Michaela today?
I met David a few years ago, and we had the pleasure of being able to plan our wedding. We invited all the people from all across the country. People were going to travel. And on my bachelorette party, 2 days before, we got the call that the coronavirus shut down our entire event.
It was like a kind of like a tidal wave had hit us. With only 48 hours left, we had to cancel all the vendors. The venue canceled on us. We had to call everyone that was going to try to travel.
We had paid for everything. We had gotten, you know, flowers. We did have a little bit of hope, and we thought we could reschedule, not really knowing where the coronavirus was going to be. But here we are again, looking to cancel yet again. We're just a little emotionally drained and kind of don't know really where to go from here.
It was a heartbreaking kind of ordeal.
Yeah, that's a rough one.
Yeah.
Here's something I can tell you that maybe is a bit of hope. I've done like about 35,000 client hours in my lifetime. So I've seen a lot of people. And I can tell you one thing. Couples who face adversity together have the best chance of long-term relationship. And the way you're sitting there, the way she's leaning against you, David, you clearly have grown something in the adversity in the joined loss. Often, you know, the big wedding takes on a life of its own, and the real love and the real care get a little bit lost. It's so beautiful because you kind of get to do it the other way around.
Around, totally, yes.
You get to deepen and sink in and make the commitment now between the two of you in lockdown with each other. And you get to really celebrate your union for what it is, which is the two of you on the sofa. And then when the time is right, you're going to have the big wedding.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I can promise you it's going to be much deeper.
Yes.
Because you come to it as a more mature couple.
Yes.
And it's not just going to be the fairy tale, which is wonderful, but it's a fairy tale. It's going to have the underpinning of your love for each other and the fact that you made it through the adversity. You didn't throw in the towel and break up and run off and do horrible things.
Right.
You're sitting there together.
Yeah. That's real talk.
That's real.
It really is. It really is. Remember the Amazing Race when they would have couples that would have to go through this amazing race together? And I go, if you want to get married,
do the Amazing Race.
Yep. And then if you make it across that finish line together, now put on the wedding dress.
That's
have
right.
the celebration.
That's
and
right.
that's what this reminds me of.
Yes.
You know?
You've seen the worst of each other, so to speak, right? Because I'm sure there were tears and tantrums and everything, right? Yes. So you've seen the worst. Now you can have the best.
Yes. I tell you, seeing the two of you warms my heart.
You guys just emanate such joy,
and love for each other.
Thank you.
That's what marriage is all about.
Yes. In my eyes, y'all already married. Okay.
Thank you.
And this too shall pass.
Yes.
It really will.
Yeah.
One day, all of
wedding.
This will be over, and you will be able to get back to planning your wedding.
I can't wait to hear what the vows will be like on the actual wedding.
Yes.
And I think there will be very different vows than what you had planned on.
That's true. And y'all know Gammy loves a wedding. She's been married four times.
You got your dress yet?
I did, but after the pandemic, I don't know if I'm going to fit back into it.
I feel that.
All right, you guys, thank you so much for joining us today.
We
are wishing you the best.
Thank you for wishing you the best.
Yes. Michaela, you always come with the gems.
Every time.
Every single time.
I don't know why I'm surprised, because it happens every time. I'm like, why am I surprised every single time?
Exactly. It's like,
thank you.
We so love having you here, and this was great. I learned
a
lot
today.
Yeah.
So
much. As always, when I get to sit in front of you.
Thank you. Those are spectacular.
Spectacular. You got on some hot pants today.
The hot pants, thank you, darling.
Yeah.
Chameleon chic.
Chameleon chic!
It's a takeaway from the foot. I'm a fan of fancy shoes, and this surgery has, like,
you'll be back to them. You'll be back
by next
to the
year,
fancy shoes soon.
I'll be back to the fancy shoes.
To join the Red Table Talk family and become a part of the conversation, follow us at facebook.com/redtabletalk. Thanks for listening to this episode of Red Table Talk podcast, produced by Facebook Watch, Westbrook Audio, and iHeartRadio.